Hey Ding Dongs, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
And this is Explain It to Jamie, the political comedy podcast in which I, Jamie, a politically innocent but curious young man from Toronto, Canada, has the political happenings of the world explained to me and simplified by my politically savvy friend, Richard Lamb.
I spend all my time on the dark web.
Weird. this is not a regular episode. This is a bonus episode.
That's right.
Because we got breaking news. News, news, news. The French election is happening.
That's right.
And it's I see it peeking through the cracks of my Trump-soaked Twitter and Facebook feed, and I have yet to read an article. I've been this is one of those topics that I have fully been cruising the headlines, but I know zero information about.
Yeah, and I feel like the entry level to just dive into an article about the French election is really, it's really difficult. It's hard to just get in there and understand what exactly is going on. And it's tempting maybe to misunderstand what's going on or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, first problem is I don't speak French.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm like,
so you're boring. Like, yes, you're already just like clicking through these things. You're like, ugh.
Yeah, dear goodness.
Fromage de pamplemousse. Yeah. Am I right, guys?
Celine Dion de Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
That's actually really weird for France to be writing about Celine Dion and Cirque du Soleil.
Well, hey, you know, the French people pick the election issues, you know, not logic.
Us. Yeah. We just report on them.
That's right. No, so there is a lot of interesting stuff happening, and that's why we're doing this as a bonus episode, because the actual final round of the French election, the presidential election, is happening in like a week and a half from when we're recording this. It's happening on Sunday, May 7th. Yep. So there's kind of a shelf life on this info. So we're just going to get into it. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on and why it's happening and what the issues are in France right now, in France as a whole.
Sounds great.
All right, let's get into it.
Wahoo! Wah, 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 wah. Here we are back from the theme song. Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a journey we took during that theme song.
It truly...
emotionally, physically.
Spiritually.
Sexually.
Oh, yeah. We're on the same wavelength right now.
We were both
now.
There.
Oh, yeah. We still haven't let go fully of our last episode on sex. If you haven't seen it, or if you haven't listened to it.
Yeah, that episode really did a number on me. All the muscle memory I'm getting from being back in the recording room here is like really...
Yeah.
It's bringing a lot of visceral emotions.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of segues, the French election.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you may remember from our electoral reform episode that France has a special system of elections where they have a special election. They have a separate election for president, just like America does.
Yeah.
And in that election, there's multiple candidates.
Right. And whoever can guzzle the most wine, eat the most cheese, and be rude to the most amount of tourists.
That's right. Yeah, prime whoever minister. Has the most affairs.
Yeah. President? Prime minister?
It's a president. This is for the president. There is a prime minister also. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
Yes. No, that's not how it works. The way that it works is that there's multiple candidates for president, so they don't have a two-party system. They have multiple parties.
Okay.
And they have a first round where everybody votes, and then whoever the top two candidates are, everybody votes again a couple weeks later, and those two candidates are just head-to-head. So somebody's going to get a majority, more than 50% of the vote. That's the idea of
that's
the system.
Right. I am all caught up now. If you yourself are like, what is, you know, Richard? What Richard's saying makes a little bit of sense, but not full sense. We invite you to go back, listen to our electoral reform episode number 3. It is very informative and very clear.
Yes. And so that first round has just happened in France, and nobody was terribly surprised by the result, but the result is, it's foreboding and ominous. And what's happened is, going into the second round, we have Emmanuel Macron against Marine Le Pen. So Macron is a centrist. He's like a neoliberal centrist. He was an investment banker. He's very young. He will be France's youngest president in history.
And a centrist is someone someone who is half human, half horse, right?
That's right. That's right. He lives in the woods by Hogwarts,
right.
Yeah. And he looks at the stars.
Yeah.
And then he decides.
Flute.
He decides, you know, which European countries to saddle with more debt based on that. So he's kind of like, okay. So here's the French political landscape is very interesting right now, because I think what's happening in France is maybe what's going to happen in America soon. What's happened in France is they always had a traditional big left party and a traditional big right party, mm-hmm. like in America or even like in Canada. They had kind of a dynamic similar to the Canadian system, where there was one big left party that was the Parti Socialiste, the Socialist Party, because, you know, France's economic policies are generally a lot more left wing than a North American country.
Yeah.
And then the right wing party has gone through a bunch of iterations. I still think of it as the UMP, the Union de Mouvement Populaire, the like union for a popular movement. That's what they were called when I lived in France for a year. But they were also been called the Republican Party in recent years. And what's happened is then there was always a far right party for the last several decades in France. That was kind of like, if I had to compare it to a Canadian thing, I would call it like the Wild Rose of France, right? It's like right of the right wing party, but it was always like a presence, right? Even when it was
a real possibility.
That's right. And even when it was a real minority, it still kind of took up a lot of space, and people demonized it, and they demonized it because it was horrible.
Right.
Like, I will mince no words about this party. And this party is called the Front National, the National Front.
Right.
And then finally, there is also parties to the left of the Parti Socialiste in France. And what's happened this year in France is that the left-wing party exploded. Right. So just like I've said several times that I think the Democrats have sort of failed to listen to people and they're in danger of becoming a failed party, the Parti Socialiste, which has always been the big left wing party in France, exploded into like three or four different parties. Mm. There was finally a complete dissolving of it. So what happened was, in the first round, there was this super interesting dynamic where you had the main right wing guy. His name was François Fillon, but he got caught in a big embezzlement scandal. He was the president who was the incumbent president, but he got caught, and they found out that he was paying his wife and two of his children government salaries to do government jobs that they just were not doing. Like, there's no job.
Right. Here's your dad. Where's my allowance? Quel mon allowance?
Yeah.
Your allowance is coming straight from the taxpayers, son.
De la banque, mon fille. Yeah. Mon fils. Fia's daughter. And so what happened, so there was that on the right, that weakened the main right-wing candidate, and then on the left, the Parti Socialiste exploded into two major divisions. There was still the Parti Socialiste, and their guy was named Hamon. I think it was Bernard Hamon. But then there was this other movement, which was called La France Insoumiable, something like that. It was like, but it means like France unbowed, France unsurrendered.
I just want to say, like, if I have to sum this up, I'm like dripping in sweat right now.
No, it's okay. I won't make you say all these things. Basically, like
any French at all.
But what happened was, it was like if Bernie Sanders had just made his own party.
Wow.
After he lost the primary. So this guy who was split off from the main left-wing party, his name was Mélenchon, Jean-Luc Mélenchon. Mm. And Mélenchon was the Bernie Sanders figure of this French election. But instead of losing the leadership race to the normal party guy and then saying, okay, fine, he was like, fuck this. A year ago, he split off and made his own party and ran against the main left party and did way better than them. He ended up getting as many votes as François Fillon, the main right-wing guy. They both got about 19.5% to 20% of the vote. Now, Marine Le Pen from the Front National, which is the right wing, the Wild Rose kind of equivalent. Right. She got 21%. And Macron, this kind of centrist guy, who also split off from the Parti Socialiste to form his own centrist party. So the Parti Socialiste, one person split off to the right and one person split off to the left, right? So they formed three major parties and a lot of, actually, like, there was many other minor parties too.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like, that deserves a Midnight in Paris, Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, totally. and that guy's, it's just kind of funny that Macron's party is called En Marche, which kind of means like if it was Canadian, it would be like, go Canada, go the party. Like,
right.
Like,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and so what's happened now is the kind of center candidate is facing off in the last, in the last election against the serious Wild Rose candidate, who did better than that party has ever done in their party's history.
The Wild Rose,
yeah. Candidate. They stand. Their Marine Le Pen is riding this wave of this right wing populism that's going across the country, the world, right? With the Brexit, with Trump, people were worried that the far right candidate was going to win in Holland. He barely lost, so that was kind of like a good thing.
Oof.
But now there's everyone's predicting that Macron is going to win, the centrist is going to win. But Le Pen, she pulls, you know. At this point, how could you possibly be like, well, the polls say he's going to win, so it's a done deal.
Right.
You know, the polls said the Brexit wasn't going to happen. The polls said Hillary was going to destroy Trump.
Right.
You know, here we are.
Right.
None of those things both went south on everybody. Now, granted, I think if this had happened before those things, there would be a much higher chance of Le Pen getting in. Because those two things have happened, I think French people are a little more spooked. But there's the same dynamic at play in France as in America, where there are like Mélenchon or bust people, right? So like Bernie or bust, remember,
right.
Like those people?
Yeah.
There are people who are like, because we can't have Mélenchon, I'm disgusted by this centrist. Like, I think that neoliberal economics are destroying our world, and they're like, the current policies of the European Union are like weakening France and choking us out, and all the money is enriching the 1%, and I'm a leftist person, because the right wing is saying the same thing, right? Like Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders were addressing the same problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like people are out of work. The standard of living is going bad, right? And they feel powerless, and they feel like there are all these elites profiting off of their misery, essentially.
Mm.
And Bernie Sanders said the reasons for that are economic, and what we need are like better labor regulations, and we need a single payer healthcare system. And then Donald Trump said it's the Mexicans' fault, right? You know, it's like, I'm going to fix all this stuff, I'm going to be tough. And it's like all of they're seeing the problems correctly, well, sort of correctly. At least they're both speaking to real people's problems,
right.
But they're picking radically different solutions. And one of, you know, the right wing solutions all involve hostility and xenophobia, and the left-wing solutions involve economic reform.
Mm.
This is the same divide in France. So, except Marine Le Pen is a way scarier politician than Donald Trump is.
No.
Oh yeah, man, she's terrifying.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I should add, she seems to be the focal point of all of the all the Twitter and Facebook stuff that sort of passes through my way. And I've been watching a lot of like on like Twitter arguments about her, and you know, a lot of alt-right Americans are like really pro her, and like,
yes,
making the argument
that's
of like,
right,
why aren't you a feminist? Like, you can't, like, if you're not a feminist,
no,
then
yeah,
you're not. And
right,
I'm like,
you can absolutely be a feminist and despise Marine Le Pen.
Right.
She's a horrible person. Right. The Le Pens, her father founded the party, the Front National. His name was
Mr.
Jean-Marie Le Pen.
Right.
Yeah. Jean-Marie Le Pen? Yeah, Jean-Marie Le Pen.
Monsieur Le Pen.
Yeah, Monsieur Le Pen.
Is it Le Pen like Le Pen? Like,
no, it's like
rabbit?
It's like Le Pen. Like
Le
like
Pen.
Like what you write with, except in French.
Huh.
And I don't know what that is. I don't know. It's not a very French-sounding word, is it? I don't
know.
It's got something. I'm sure there's some weird,
maybe it's like a
Gallic reason
of paint, like bread.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they were bakers or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You think they'd be using that more?
bread?
I think
France is using bread fucking plenty.
yeah. Guys.
yeah. Cool it on the bread.
We get it.
yeah, okay? You make bread good.
You're all coasting around with your fucking bicycles in your basket with a single perfect baguette in it.
Yeah, giving birth in your living rooms and into swimming pools for free.
Yeah, having promiscuous sex that everyone is completely consenting to and fulfilled by.
Yeah.
You assholes.
Striped shirts have never been at an all-time high.
Yeah. No.
I don't know. Yeah.
No, so the Le Pens have been on the political scene since the 80s in France when Le Pen Sr. Founded this party. And he was one of the most universally despised figures in French politics for decades, because he ran this party that was like the Wild Rose Party, this fringe right-wing party that was super racist. Like, that was, he was famous for just saying the most offensive and insane racist shit on TV. Like, he was charged and convicted several times of just straight up like Holocaust denial, where he'd be like, look, the gas chambers are just a detail of World War II, you know, you shouldn't zoom in on them. And And generally saying, like, you know, if you supported Marshal Pétain, we're all for you. Like, you can come join us. And Marshal Pétain was the dude who the Nazis put in charge of running France when the Nazis invaded France. So it was like, you know, like, these are things that, like, French people are not happy to hear.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No one's happy to hear this guy saying this shit, except Nazis, right? And so for a long time, basically, they were, like, a party of Nazis and white supremacists. They also hate Islamic people. Like, they hate Islam. They despise it.
Right.
And Marine Le Pen, when she took the party over in 2007, literally engaged in what they called de-demonization of the party. So they tried to cool the anti-Semitic stuff, but they kept all the anti-Islamic stuff, and basically kind of like couch all of their policies, which are super anti-immigrant reactionary policies, all about like keeping French identity and ethnicity pure and kind of creepy shit like that. Mm-hmm. They just kind of started cloaking it in softer terms, right? So, like, they want to leave the Eurozone. They want France to not have the Euro anymore. But instead of saying leaving the Eurozone, now they're saying we want to support, like, a strong franc, you know, like, stuff like that, like, basic little flips and stuff like that.
Right.
And so by doing stuff like that and toning down the anti-Semitism, they have tapped into a well of, you know, anger and dissatisfaction that exists all across the world among, you know, people who don't live in cities and people who are disadvantaged by globalization. Mm-hmm. But they've also tapped into France's, like, extreme Islamophobia. Now, like, France is a way more Islamophobic country than any country in North America.
Yeah.
Way more.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems to me, even in recent, maybe it's just the news I'm getting, but it seems there's been more terrorist attacks in Paris in recent years than most other places.
Yeah, and that's for a super specific reason. I mean, okay, so here's my fun disclosure, is I went to university in France for a year. I went on exchange there to one of the same schools that Macron himself went to, Sciences Po.
Oh, yeah, sorry, you know, here, you drop this name.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, let me just grab that again. it's interesting because France is not a multicultural country. Mm. France does not have multiculturalism as a value. Mm. What they have instead is this thing called la laïcité, which doesn't have a great translation, but sometimes people call it secularism, and sometimes people say citizenship. But what it is there's this like neutral French identity that everybody has the right to buy into, and if you buy, and you're supposed to kind of buy into it in public. In public, everyone's supposed to be French, and then in private, you can do whatever the fuck you want; they don't care.
Right.
But in public, you're supposed to be French and have French culture. Mm. And French culture is a very specific thing because, you know, they are super anti-religious in all ways. Like, you're not allowed to wear a cross in public school in France. You're not allowed to wear a Star of David on a necklace or a cross. You're not allowed to wear a headscarf. Like, they prohibit all religious iconography because it's not secular, right? It's not the neutral French citizen. Mm. These are the people who still consider themselves the descendants of the people who revolted against the monarchy and the clergy in the 1790s.
This is really interesting, actually, and really timely. I had an Uber driver just 2 days ago. He started speaking with a French accent, and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, where are you from? And he says, I'm from France.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cool, cool. Like, how long you been living here? He's like, I've been living here for a couple of years. Lived in France for a couple of years. And I lived in Cameroon for like 37 years.
Right.
And, but he said, you know, he's like, I'm French. I'm France French.
Right.
And I remember thinking that was really strange. I was like, oh, but you spent the vast majority of your life in Cameroon, and yet you identify fully as France, despite having lived in Canada longer and in Cameroon like way longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess he adopted a French identity,
right? Which is in theory available to anybody who wants to adopt it.
Could I do it right now?
I mean, like, yeah. Why don't you? Oh my gosh.
Well, bonjour.
Oh my god.
Yes, welcome to my closet or my bureau.
Do you want to have an affair?
Yeah.
I mean, like we can't be real about that. Like, that stereotype, this is a sidebar, that stereotype of French politicians is 100% real. The stuff that French politicians like get up to is so much crazier than anything that a North American politician would ever be allowed to do, that it's like just wild. Like, while I was in France, the president of France divorced his wife and then immediately married an Italian pop star.
Wow.
Like, could you imagine that happening to any sitting president or like prime minister?
Yeah.
Even like British prime minister? Like, no, not never, right?
When I first read Les Liaisons Dangereuses, I just read it for what it was, as like a sort of funny, dramatic whispers in the ear.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
A romantic, sexy thing. Then I, you know, listened to some of the French politics and that president who... Yeah, had like three affairs.
Yeah, yeah.
With his wife, wherever, and I went, oh no, this is
real.
This is a very real thing.
Yeah. Okay, so there's this thing called laïcité, the secularism, the central French identity.
Yeah.
But France has had this big problem where they have a lot of Muslim immigration because they were a colonial country. So they have like countries in Africa, Algeria, and I actually don't know if Cameroon is also one. It might be. Right. But Algeria is the big one, which are like French. They were French,
French
colonies.
Did occupy
Cameroon. They, and so they speak French. They still have like ties together, right? And this is an Arab Islamic country, right? So there is like a lot of immigration from Algeria to France. And there was like, it was easier to get from Algeria to France than from other places, right? Because they had a colonial obligation. And they fought a horrible war in the 50s, which, you know, is a different story altogether. But there was, you know, there were large Muslim populations that began coming in the 70s. And what started to happen was this very interesting thing where, you know, Canada adopted multiculturalism also in the late 60s, right around the same time. And they also started getting a lot of immigrants.
Yeah.
Now,
shout out to old Trudeau there.
In Canada, you'll notice we have people have discomfort sometimes about immigrants, but we don't actually have a lot of problems. Sure, we have, like, you know, we have problems. We have, people are worried that people aren't integrating and stuff like that. But in France, they have like riots, right? We don't have riots in Canada. And what happened was the first generation of people who immigrated to France generally were happy to be there and were happy to play by the rules. But when they had kids and their kids were, you know, raised in Islam, but also raised in France, they found themselves sort of torn between their personal private identities and this, the way that French society refused to acknowledge and legitimize their identities, right? And when I was in France, a lot of French intellectuals were looking at Canada and trying to, and one of the main topics was like, how can we bring the idea of multiculturalism more into France? Because those young people in France, who the second generation of the immigrants, started to become extremely angry with French society. This is part of why there's a lot more Islamic radicalization in France, is because there's a lot of pissed off young Muslim people in France because the state is hostile to them,
right?
The state does look down on them. The state does say, no, you can't wear your headscarf here, and you're looked at askance for that. And it says, even like, you know, there's this thing called the burkini, which is like a Muslim woman's like swimwear, which is like a full body swimsuit thing. And like, sometimes like cops will make Muslim women take them off on the beach. They'll like, or they'll like make them leave the beach and take off their burkini because it's a religious garb in a public space and shit like that. Like, they tried to ban the burkini. This kind of talk is all over French politics.
Yeah, I remember a couple years ago when there was like actors in a theater that stopped the show and made a lady take her burqa off.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, and they like they stopped and said, "We aren't going to continue until you either yeah. take it off or leave."
Right.
And yeah, yeah.
And so,
and then you know the Charlie Hebdo thing and all that as well.
Yeah, right. So and so there's no. There's very little reverence for religion in French culture, and that has resulted in a lot of alienation, more from young people who don't know how to reconcile what they're supposed to do in public and be French. And it's the only country a lot of them have ever known. They've never lived in Algeria. They've never lived in an Islamic country. But they are Islamic. They were raised with this religion, and there's no space for them to fully live their lives. And that's how they feel. And it's an alienating thing for them.
Before we get too far away from it, I think I actually want to rescind that Charlie Hebdo thing, because I think that's maybe a bit different, isn't it?
Well, the...
Because that's like a freedom of speech thing.
It is, but it's also deliberately provocative, and there's a huge appetite for pissing off Muslims in France, because a lot of French people are like, well, these Muslims are corrupting French culture, right? French culture is a distinct and unique thing, and we love it and want to uphold it. This is what Marine Le Pen says,
right?
So now here we are. We're at the present day. Right. You've got that kind of background about how there's all these pissed off Muslims in France, young Muslims who don't feel like they're part of society, and also French people. So they're an easy scapegoat, like Mexicans in America for Donald Trump. Marine Le Pen, you know, French people already have pretty negative attitudes towards a lot of Muslims, and so Marine Le Pen plays right into that, and her stance on immigration is so much more brutal than Donald Trump's. It's so much more brutal. She wants to limit immigration of all kinds to France to 10,000 people a year. The current number is about 100,000. Period. 10,000 people a year. Wow. She wants to shut the door.
Right. Doesn't matter where you're from, who you are, 10,000 a year.
Yeah. She also wants to get rid of the thing that is like, if you're born on French soil, you can become a French citizen. And she wants to make it only inherited by blood.
Whoa.
So
only if your parents
are French
have been accepted through the 10,000 a year
or whatever
or have a long history.
If your parents are already French citizens, you can become a French citizen. But if you can't just be born on French soil and become a French citizen, which is how like every other country works. You know, like if you and I, even though if we both have Canadian parents, if we were born in the States, we could apply for citizenship.
Right.
Lots of people do that. Lots of people do that for many territories. And one of her policies is to get rid of that. She also, I don't know if this is still in her election platform. It was 2 or 3 years ago, but she wanted any immigrant who was unemployed for more than 6 months to get deported. She wants to leave the Eurozone, like I said. She's very, very intense and aggressive. And then she talks a lot about, you know, protecting the French ethnicity and French culture and, you know, striking back against the globalist elite who are, you know, stepping on the common people. Right. Anyway, tons of people in France despise her and think of her as a huge threat. But she's getting a lot of the vote and she's getting a lot of popular attention. Macron, on the other hand, he's not a very inspiring guy. He's young, but he was an investment banker. He was never held elected office. He was appointed to be the Minister of Finance by the last president, so in like 2014.
So that's how his political career
started. Well, he's been in the Parti Socialiste. He was a part of the Parti Socialiste, like the left wing party, for about 10 years. And he kind of hung around as like an assistant minister for a little while. And then the right wing party asked him to be a minister. So he accepted. He was never a socialist. He admitted he was never a socialist. He's a centrist. He helped negotiate with Greece for the EU when Greece was doing its big austerity thing. And apparently he was actually one of the more left wing of the EU bankers about that whole thing.
Right.
He was a little more on Greece's side, and the finance minister of Greece said that he was one of the only people who really believed in helping them and not forcing them into more austerity and cutting all their things and making their people suffer. But he himself, his economic policies involve austerity. He wants to cut some of the French social programs. He wants to clean up. He wants to get rid of some taxes, and move. And it's a little more of a, it's a lot more of a right wing economic policy than France typically has.
Right.
he's also, people think of him as being in a tenuous position. He's the ultimate strategic vote. Nobody's like a hardcore Macron guy, or very few people are. Right. Like over half the people.
He's the vanilla ice cream of,
exactly.
of the election.
He's the not Kelly Leach of the election, right? Because Marine Le Pen is like their Kelly Leach. Okay. And apparently like over half the people who voted for him said they strategically voted for him.
Right.
Now there's a lot of people who voted for Mélenchon, who is like the Bernie Sanders guy, who don't want to vote for him because they're disgusted with the idea they're going to vote for this centrist investment banker when they themselves are as pissed off at the Eurozone as Marine Le Pen is, right? But then there's this exact same dynamic in France that there was in America where people are like, you have to vote for Macron. Like, if Le Pen gets in, I don't even understand how you could not want Le Pen to get in. But as we saw in America, that's a dangerous thing. It's dangerous to make people who are pissed off with the system say, you have to do what we say.
Right.
You know, sometimes people just want to blow it up. We saw that happen. Or those people might not show up at all, which is also what happened in America. Right. And that means with a lower turnout, right, more dangerous swings can happen.
Mm. So we've gone through the first round of voting.
Yes.
For events. And there are two rounds of voting?
There's two. So there's one more coming up Sundays, like next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Not the coming Sunday, the one after.
Wow. And these are the people that remain, right?
That's right. It's just these two left.
So Macron and Le Pen.
Yeah.
And
Mélenchon's out.
Is out.
Yeah. And he's the only other candidate who refused to endorse Macron. Everyone else said you have to vote for Macron to keep Le Pen from getting in. But Mélenchon said, I can't do it in with a whole heart, which a lot of people were really mad at him for. But he's like, I have to put it to my supporters for a vote. If I'll ask my supporters if they think I should support him. And if they say yes, then I'll endorse him.
And
they voted today. We'll see how it turns out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. There's a troubling thing because I myself kind of, I look at that and I go, you know, good for you a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I don't know. I obviously don't want Le Pen to get, based on what I've heard here, I don't want Le Pen to win. But if someone says I can't do it with a whole heart, so I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of go,
that guy's got, yeah, that guy's kind of legit,
you.
Right?
Yeah, and it's really too bad you didn't win.
I think I would have been furious with these people before the American election, but the truth is now I get it.
Right.
I also get it.
Right.
You know, it's, you can't, when people feel the system's not working for them, you can't condescend to them. Mm. You can't condescend to them and tell them, look, it's just you have to do this. You have to like that's more alienating than what's supposed to happen. What Hillary Clinton's huge mistake was if there's a huge popular swell to the left, like there was with Bernie Sanders in a primary race, the mechanisms of democracy mean she's supposed to go to the left also. Yeah. She's supposed to accept that she has to get those people on. She has to listen to those people and say, okay, we'll adopt some of your policy. You're not going to get all of it, but you'll get some of it.
Yeah.
And that's how those people get brought in.
You know, what's funny is that this is never really like when I was a teenager, you know, I was obviously, you know, like at school thinking, you know, some of these classes are a little bit bullshit. You know, some of these classes are more about memorizing stuff than they are about understanding stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd say that and and adults in my life would go like, yeah, well, it's the way it is. So better study up.
Yeah.
And I would go, no, I'm not. Well, I'm not going to study then. And I didn't. And I continued on. And here we are, and just sort of in realistically a very, very similar situation.
Absolutely.
People are saying, I don't like the way this thing runs. And
well, and it's frustrating that these fucking centrists like Hillary Clinton and Macron won't go to the left. They won't say, okay, you know what? I really want these people on side, so I'm going to accept it. They're being the ones who are ignoring the democratic mechanisms also by saying, nope, I'm not moving. You have to vote for me or else a racist is going to get in. Nya, 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 nya. And most of those people didn't vote for Trump. They just didn't vote because they were disgusted with having to make that choice,
which is
a superhuman thing that I completely
understand
why you would make that choice.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, that's where we're at right now.
Very interesting.
It'll be super interesting to see how this all shakes down.
So Le Pen wants to leave the European Union.
Yeah.
What kind of, how powerful is France?
France is powerful. It's not as powerful as Germany, but it's a huge pillar of the European Union as well. It's a large population.
Where does it compare to like Britain? Like if France and Britain dropped out of the European Union?
I think they're comparable.
Okay.
they're equal sized. I think they have pretty much equal populations. Is the population of Britain like 60 million people? 68 million people? It's about the same. France is about 60 million, 65 million people.
Yeah. I forget what London is. I think London, I thought London was like 18 million. I'm making that number up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Google it. I believe they are, we can look that up and correct it later, but I believe they are about equal in prestige and importance, and they're major players in the European Union. So it would be devastating if, I mean, she's not threatening to leave the EU. She's just threatening to remove France from the Eurozone. Now, obviously, that's like a huge blow to the EU.
Okay, I don't know the difference between the Eurozone and the EU.
Right, so...
She wants to pick France up and put it in next to Canada.
Yeah, that's right. She wants to saw it like Bugs Bunny, just saw it off and like float
and
it out to sea.
And then watch the rest of Europe fall, sink into the ocean.
Yeah.
That's what would happen.
And then be like, meep, meep. Like, yeah, like the Roadrunner. No, she wants to not have the euro as the currency anymore. But I think she still wants the trade agreements where they can still like sell shit to each other without tariffs and stuff like that, because that would fuck France over, which is it's a bit of an unrealistic goal. And, okay, it should be said, too, a month after the presidential election, then they have their like House of Commons elections. They have their like normal elections for like who represents all the different territories in the country, right? So they have their like Congress elections. The Assemblée Nationale is what it's called. And like in our system then, whichever party gets the most seats in the National Assembly forms the prime minister. And in the case that the prime minister is from a different party than the president, which happens in France because Macron, his party's super new. It doesn't have a super broad base of support. So there's a good chance that whoever ends up being the prime minister could come from a different party than Le Pen or Macron. And in that case, the prime minister will actually have more power.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, if that happens. That's called cohabitation.
Right.
And it's happened a couple times because in that case, when the president doesn't have the legislature, they only actually can control by themselves a few things, unlike in America where they have a lot more power.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's another part of this. We have to see how the congressional election is going to shake down, the National Assembly election.
So it's a bit of a complicated system they have.
Yeah. I mean, it's a more complicated electoral system because you have to vote multiple times, and their balance of powers is a lot more even.
Right.
Or maybe even slanted more towards like Congress than the president.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Anyway, a lot of shit going on.
That's
going
to be developing as we go.
Yeah, hopefully you gave this a listen, so when you see those articles coming out, when you see the updates coming out, you'll have a little bit of a way in.
For sure. For sure. I feel like it's still, because it's like a complicated system, and because I'm not super, super familiar with it from the inside, I'm still like, you know, looking at all the branches on the tree and not understanding how each one gets to each leaf.
Yeah.
And it's like just sort of a bit of a blur. But I do understand that that France votes twice, that these are the people that are in question. It's actually really a mirror reflection of the Hillary Trump
very similar
situation.
Dynamics.
And learned a little bit more about France's anti-Islamic policies and why they are, you know.
Macron has a lot of things going for him that Hillary didn't. He is really young, really young. He's like 39. And he's very new in politics. So like he doesn't have all the baggage of scandal and kind of anger that the Clintons have attached to their name, you know? So that definitely works in his favor. Le Pen also is no longer the leader of the Front National. She stepped back after the first round so that she's like, people want us so that people can see me clearly and not attach me to the party. And so the party will run now in the congressional elections without her attached.
I have one more question.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, the question on everybody's mind.
Go on.
Is Macron better looking than Justin Trudeau?
I think JT would probably win it, but Macron, he's no slouch. He's a handsome dude, I think.
Okay, cool.
Anyone would think that. I thought you were going to say, is Macron like
made
a small
of,
cookie?
Made of macarons.
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely what I thought you were going
to
say.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's notoriously difficult to bake.
Yeah. Indeed.
Well,
yeah.
Is he?
He's notoriously difficult to bake. It takes like five or six joints before that dude's
baked. Woo!
Little tease for what's coming out next week.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Guess what it is?
Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
Okay, cool. Well,
great.
I hope you learned something.
I certainly did. Great. I certainly did. This does illuminate a little bit about what's going on, and because there's this sort of urgency around the posts that I've been seeing, it's nice that I can relax into that a bit and go, okay, this is why it's urgent. This is why this is happening. It seems to be happening quickly. And
if Le Pen gets elected, everything will change in Europe, just as it has with all these. Like it will be like France will never be the same.
Right.
It's like the Trump election. France will like completely never be the same.
Right.
Worth paying attention to. All right. Well, if we got anything wrong or you have questions about this, you want to know more, hit us up at our Gmail, explainittojamie@gmail.com, or on Twitter at explainjamie.
On Facebook, explainittojamie. Write us comments. Send us an email, whatever you like. If you want to join the conversation, please feel free to do so. And of course, please share.
Yeah.
Share this with your
Tell
friends.
Tell people about this.
We're having a really great time making this podcast, and we would love it if more people would join the conversation.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Until next time, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
Explain it to Jamie.
Oh, adieu.